Mark chapter number 1. Back up to verse 21. Let's get the context, lay the background. We'll read down, and I'm going to have you turn to another portion of Scripture. But first, Mark chapter 1, verse 21. They went to Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. They were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." When the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. Let's go to Luke chapter number 4. Luke chapter number 4, and let's read what Dr. Luke wrote under inspiration about this same story, this same event. Luke chapter number 4. And if you will, then look at verse number 31. Luke chapter number 4. And verse number 31. And came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. They were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. In the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." When the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, "What a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out." And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help me as I preach this morning, Lord. I want God, please, Lord, for your Holy Spirit to help me and assist me. I need you today, Lord. And God, I know the folks here. I believe that probably to a person, I believe the vast majority of people are here today because they want to hear from heaven. They need something from you, God. They need something from your word. So please, Lord, reward them for their diligence, their faithfulness to be here. And I pray, Lord, that Christians would be strengthened if there's one here. Without Christ as Savior, may today be the day that they're saved. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, and you may be seated. I have spent the last several months diligently studying the stories in the Bible that connect or give us some insight concerning the invisible creation. The invisible creation, yes? I have studied everything that the Bible talks about and tells us about Satan. I've studied everything in the last four or five months stretch that the Bible that I could find, I believe I've covered it all, studied it all, that the Bible has to say about unclean spirits and devils and the demonic horde, the demonic army that Satan uses, those that followed him from heaven who now are under his command and control and do his work for him. I'm going to say this, of all of the stories that I read, I'm not sure that this one to me isn't the most astounding of all of the stories. Now, I think if you're not careful at first reading, it doesn't appear that. I think maybe that demonic man, demonic possessed man in the cemetery, that may seem a little more exciting. But or there may be other instances. The story in the book of Acts, and by the way, we didn't scrape the surface on this. We really did. Preached on it a month, and honestly, we could preach 6 months on this and not exhaust it. But the story in the book of Acts where a group of men, I always think this is hilarious, group of men noticed that the apostles were given power over unclean spirits. And so they decided that looked neat, and they were going to cast out a demon or some demons from a demon-possessed man. And the demon spoke to them and says, "Jesus, we know, and Paul, we know, but who are you?" And then that demonic man attacked them and beat them up and ripped all their clothes off. And honestly, I'm sorry, this is, I know it's Sunday morning, but that's what happened. And they fled out of that house naked, and that demonic man won the battle. You know what? You won't find any demons winning against Jesus. And you won't find the demons winning when there's a spirit-filled, controlled man of God doing battle with them in the name of Jesus Christ. But you don't want to mess around with somebody. Listen, I mean this, folks. If you're a backslider, you're away from God, at least have enough honesty to understand that and don't mess around. Don't mess around with this realm. The best thing to do is just get right with God, but don't mess around with it. Now, there may be some more exciting stories, maybe some more entertaining stories, maybe some that give us a little more insight. But I think that the reason this story grabbed my attention was the fact that this occurred in the synagogue. There was a demon-possessed man in the synagogue. And I'm going to preach a message this morning entitled, Demons in the Church House. No, I didn't say deacons. I said demons. Demons in the church house. Demons in the church house. Now, let me just give you some things from this story. And by the way, if you're still in Luke chapter 4, let's emphasize that. Let me point that out to you. Jesus came down, verse 31, came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. They were astonished at his doctrine, and for his word was with power. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil and cried out with a loud voice. So this is what I think is astounding. I begin to read this and think to myself, my goodness saints, it's one thing when Jesus is out in a foreign country and he stumbles across a demon-possessed man that's running in the tombs. It's another thing when a man comes to Jesus on the street and brings his son and says, he's lunatic, he's demon-possessed, I need help. It's another thing when a lady comes all the way from Canaan land and says, I didn't bring my daughter, but she's at home and she's vexed by a spirit. But to find a demon-possessed man in the synagogue, in the church house, all of a sudden my antennas went up and I thought to myself, you know what? This is an unusual story. And I believe God wants to teach us some things from this story. Number one, let me just say this. The devil faithfully attends the house of God. Did you hear me, church? The devil and his demons faithfully attend the house of God. Now, one of the things you can count on the devil is that he's faithful. Let me just say a word about faithfulness, can I, to God's people? I believe that faithfulness to God's house is a principle, an undeniable principle that we find in Scripture. I believe that every single born-again Christian ought to be faithful to the house of God. Now, folks, just listen to me, and I'm not mad at anybody. I mean that. I love you, and if you come once a month, I'll be glad to see you. But I really mean this. In your Christian life, you need to let God deal with you in this area. Because I believe if you're saved, you ought to be faithfully attending the church house. If you're truly born again, you ought to be faithful to God's house. It's a principle that's found in Scriptures. Forsake not the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And we talk about in the last days the great falling away and how fewer and fewer Christians. I believe this. You want to see revival? I believe if everybody that named the name of Jesus Christ, every person in this county and surrounding counties that claim to be saved, if next Sunday morning they'd get up and actually go to church, there wouldn't be enough seats in the churches of this area to hold them all. And what's happened is somehow the devil's got into their lives. Listen to me, this didn't come from God. God never came to you and said, I want you to not attend church. The Holy Spirit never came to you and said, you know what, it's okay just to come every once in a while. I believe if you'll listen to God, I'm not trying to talk you into it. If you do it because I talk you into it, you won't stick with it. But I believe if you'll listen to God and say, God, speak to my heart and burden my heart about this. Let me hear from the Bible and hear from your Spirit. I believe what the Spirit of God would tell you through the principles that's found in the Scriptures is, listen, get to church. Get to the church house. Come to Sunday school. Come to Sunday morning preaching. Come to Sunday night preaching. Come to Wednesday night service. I believe it's a principle that's found in the Scriptures. But let me say this to remind our core people of this. I believe it's also a prerequisite to Christian service. Let's not fail and let's not forget to be faithful to the house of God. Listen to me. Look right up here. Master's Club workers, Sunday school teachers, children's church workers. What a horrible thing for us to stand in front of our young people, Stand in front of them with an open Bible. Stand in front of them as an example. And then have those same young people come to a Wednesday night or a Sunday night service and look around for a teacher, look around for a worker, and say, where are they? Where are they? The Bible says that it's better that a millstone was put around our neck than to cause one of these young ones to be offended. And that word offended means to cause them to stumble. That's not talking about, I think it includes, but that's not talking about a pedophile. That's talking about somebody that causes them in their faith to stumble. I mean, at church, we ought to once again get serious about the fact that we do have an effect on people around us. We're not an island. And I believe that we ought to understand that if we're going to serve the Lord, and we're going to have an influence on those around us, we need to be faithful to church. But let me say this. The devil's faithful. I'd hate to think that when I stand before God one of these days, I'd have to look at the devil's attendance at church and mine, and he had a better attendance than I. He had a better attendance at church than I did. Amen. You can say amen. Amen. Help the preacher out here. Amen. Now the devil's here. I guarantee you the devil or the demons of hell, one, either him personally or his cohorts, they attend every single service at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Every single service. Our attendance board in the back, it only reflects the number of visible creatures in attendance this morning. Now, there's no way to count the other ones. I've said this several times, but if we'd had the scales lifted from our eyes for a couple minutes and we could see that invisible world, say something, we'd pray like we never prayed before. We'd understand the importance of what's going around here. We'd understand there's a battle every single service. Every time we assemble, folks, God's here. Thank God Jesus said, whether gathered, one or two are gathered in my name, two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there in the midst of them. But let me tell you, he's not the only one that shows up. The devil faithfully attends the house of God. Number two, let me give you this. Demonic presence in the house of God is not always obvious. Demonic presence in the house of God is not always obvious. Notice this in verse 33. It says, and in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil. Now notice this. And cried out with a loud voice. Now let me just draw something to your attention, and I'm going to draw a conclusion because I think it's accurate here. Up to this point in time, there was no outward evidence that there was an unclean spirit or a man possessed with an unclean spirit until he cried out. Now there are times, many times, that we studied already through our studies that a demonic oppression or demonic possession, that it was very clear, it was outwardly manifest in the individual. We talked about the man running through the tombs, cutting himself. We talked about the young boy that threw himself into the fire. But folks, not always do we have those kind of outward evidences of demonic oppression or possession. I believe that in this instance, Jesus walked in the church house. He began to teach and he began to preach. And I think that this man fit right in. I don't think that he looked any different or acted any differently than anybody else. And I believe sometimes, folks, again, if we could understand and see the demonic realm, we'd understand that there's sometimes folks that come to Blessed Hope Baptist Church and they're not screaming and foaming at the mouth and throwing themselves on the ground or cutting themselves. But the honest truth is they're just as demonically oppressed, demonically sometimes possessed as any of the ones in the New Testament that were doing these things. So here is a man. I'm talking about maybe he has a white shirt on and a tie. I'm talking about maybe he carries a Bible. Now all I know is that he's sitting here in the house of God, in the synagogue, and Jesus comes in, and I think the people around there, people around him didn't see this, didn't know this until this demon stirred him up and began to act out through him. Listen, sometimes there's little outward indication of inward possession. Sometimes there's little outward indication of inward possession. Brother Jared, do you have a Bible verse for that? I do. Thank you for asking. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, for such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed to an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. What am I saying? I'm saying the devil's good at camouflage. I mean, sometimes somebody looks like a red-hot Christian. Sometimes somebody could be in the pulpit. Could be in the Sunday school class. Come on. And if we're not careful, if we don't know the things to look for, we could have somebody that's being used as the devil, and they're faithful to church. somebody affected by the devil and being pressed by demons, and they're faithful to the house of God. And so this is what's astounding about this story. Jesus walks in. I think when Jesus walked in and when he began to preach and during most of the service, nobody in that place, listen, it didn't say anything about Jesus walked in and there's a man cutting himself. It didn't say anything about Jesus walked in and the man's foaming at the mouth. It didn't say Jesus walked in and the man's hurling curses out. I believe in the beginning of this and during most of the service, if anybody just from a human aspect looked, they'd seen that man, he'd be sitting there, he'd appear to be listening. He looked as normal, he fit right in. But wait a minute, there were some demons in the church house. Demonic presence in the house of God, folks, is not always obvious. Now I said, number one, the devil and his demons faithfully attend the house of God. Number two, demonic presence in the house of God is not always obvious. Not always obvious. Now, this is what's interesting about the next part. I pray that you'll learn something here. I hope that you'll get this. Number three, let me give you this point. Preaching stirs up the demons of hell. Preaching stirs up the demons of hell. In verse 31, verse 32, we see that Jesus came down to Capernaum. We see that he's teaching in the Sabbath. And the Bible says they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. Let me flip back to Mark. I want to read that account. It says, and they went to Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. They were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. Well, Jerry, what's one of the best protections we have here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church against demonic presence? What's one of the best ways to flush it out? Preach! Preach! Preach the Bible! Preach the Word of God! Let me tell you something about the devil and preaching. Satan hates Bible preaching. Satan hates Bible preaching. And I think that we need once again to get up in our pulpits and remind our people of the importance of Bible preaching. The importance of Bible preaching and the protection that it affords. This is something, by the way, this is a demonic attribute. Satan hates preaching. Well, Jerry, I just don't like preaching. Jerry, I like the song service, and I like the specials, and I like the funny stories, but I just don't care much for preaching. Hello? Hello? Are you listening to me? I'm not saying you're demon-possessed. I'm saying you're influenced. I'm saying the devil's got you into a certain mindset. And by the way, you need to break free of that. You need to break free of that. You need to ask God to help you with that. Listen, you find somebody that's Spirit-filled. You find somebody that's excited about the things of God. You find somebody that's genuinely converted and on fire for God. You know what? They can't wait to hear preaching. They want to hear preaching. I mean, you're going to be shocked by this, but I got members of this church that actually sign up for CDs and tapes, and they listen to sermons over and over again while they're driving around. They're a bunch of oddballs, a bunch of freaks. I mean, all of the good rock and roll stations on the air, and they get in their car and listen to preaching. Boy, there's something wrong with them. Yeah, I know. I know what's wrong with them. It's called the Holy Spirit. That's what's wrong with them. They got a good portion of the Holy Spirit. No, I mean it. I mean this. I'm worried about young people in this church. You know what? In the spirit of cooperation and help and the spirit to serve, they volunteer for anything and everything that gets them out of a preaching service. Now, I'm not saying that every young person that volunteers to help around here doesn't like preaching, but I know just a handful of them that, you know what, they'll do whatever they can to keep from sitting under the preaching of God's Word. Hello? Hello? What are you saying, Brother John? I'm saying there's demons in the church house. I'm not calling these kids demons. I'm saying there's demonic activity. The devil's trying to talk you into the fact that preaching's not important. That preaching's not necessary for your Christian life and for your health. It is, folks, it is. Let me read you some verses about preaching. Let me just start in the Gospels and read about Jesus and preaching. I'm just going to read these verses to you. Matthew 4:17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In chapter 10, verse 7, he tells his disciples, go ye, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 10:27. He says, what I tell you in darkness, that speak in the light, what you hear in the ear, that preach upon the housetops. Matthew chapter 11, verse 1, it came to pass that Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples. He departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. You know what? Jesus was a preacher. We don't say enough about that. He was a preacher. Everywhere he went, he was preaching. Mark 1:38, and he came unto them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. Why did he come? I thought he came to down the cross. He did, but he also came to preach. Mark 16:15, he said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I love this. Jesus, the first time in his public ministry that he walked up, took the Bible and read it in his hand, he said this, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. You know what? He said, you know why I'm here? I'm here to preach. Luke chapter 4, verse 19, he said, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Luke 4:43, he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. Luke 9:2, and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Luke 9:60, Jesus said unto them, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. You know what? I just got this crazy idea that Jesus is for preaching. Jesus is all about preaching. Jesus liked to preach, and preaching was important to Jesus. Matthew 3:1, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Matthew 4:23, and Jesus went about all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Matthew 9:35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Amen. God wanted to make sure we got that, so He put it in there twice. Mark 1:14. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. Luke 8:1, and it came to pass that Jesus went throughout every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. Luke 9:6, and they departed and went through the towns preaching the gospel everywhere. You know what Jesus did? He took 12 men and he said, I want you to watch me. I want you to follow me. I'm going to teach you how to reach the world. And everywhere he went, he preached. Did that have an influence and effect on the early church? What did the apostles do? They did what they were taught. Let's look in the book of Acts. Acts 5:42. And daily in the temple and every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Acts 10:42. And Jesus commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is He which hath was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. Acts 14:15. And saying, sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you and preach unto you that you should turn from the vanities unto the living God. Acts 15:35. Paul and Barnabas continued in Antioch teaching and preaching the word of God, and many others also. I love this. Acts 28:31. It says, and Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence and no man forbidding him. That's the last 2 verses of the book of Acts. Hey, Brother Jerry, what did Paul do in the last 2 years of his life where they took his head? Every day, everybody that would come in, he'd preach to them. Amen. Acts 8:4. Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Acts 8:12. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of heaven and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Why were they saved? Why were they baptized? I'll tell you why. Because they listened to preaching, because there was some preaching going on. Acts 11:20. And some of them were men of Cyrene, Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 16:10. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, surely gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. Acts 17:3, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. So we had Jesus came down and he said, I'm going to send John the Baptist. He's going to go first. You know what he's going to do? He's going to preach. And then I'm going to come on the scene. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to preach. And then I'm going to pick 12 men. I'm going to say, follow me, because I'm going to train you how to preach. And these men, once Jesus ascended up into heaven, went into all the world and preached the gospel to every creature. What I'm saying here, folks, is listen, there's too much demonic influence in our Christian world. There's too many Christians that have been convinced by the devil that preaching is not important. And preaching is important. And you know what stirred this man up in the synagogue? You know what got him riled up? You know what made him come forth and show himself for what he was? Jesus showed up and started preaching. That's what happened. By the way, if we had time, there's a lot of things we can do, and you know what? Maybe reading verses is just good for us. 1 Corinthians, you know the church of Corinth, what a mess they were? Of all the different epistles that Paul wrote, he spoke more about preaching in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians than he did any other epistle. You know why? Because here's a church that had a bunch of problems. And you know what he was saying? You know what your problem is? You're not having enough preaching. You're not listening to what is being preached. Is that true? 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us that are saved, it is the power of God. You know what Paul is saying? Listen, you bunch of backsliders. You know why you're so carnal? Because you've got the same mindset towards preaching as the lost world does. You look at it as foolishness, but us that are saved, it's supposed to be the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1:21, and after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. 1 Corinthians 2:4, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. 2 Corinthians 10:14, for we stretch not ourselves beyond measure, as though we reach not unto you, for we are come as far to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:17, 1:23, 9:14, 9:16, 9:18, 15:11, 2 Corinthians 2:12. You know what Paul said over and over again to these people? You know what your problem is? You're not listening to preaching. You're not responding to preaching. You've got a demonic attitude towards preaching. Listen, God has a plan here. But you know, we didn't invent the church. We didn't come up with this idea of assembling. We didn't make up the office of a preacher. All of those things came right from the words of God. And we have got to fight against this demonic mindset in the mind of born-again Christians where the devil slipped up and told them, listen, church just isn't a big deal. It is a big deal. Preaching's not important. It is important. Faithfulness to the house of God and hearing the Word of God preached on a regular basis, you can do fine without it. No, you can't. No, you can't. And that doesn't come from the Holy Spirit of God. I love what Paul wrote to his young preacher boys. 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering. You know, Paul told his preacher boys, here's what you do, you preach. 2 Timothy 4:17, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Now folks, what's behind this turning preaching services into entertainment services? What's behind that? The devil. Amen. Hey, come to the concert. No, come to preaching. Come to the gospel thing. No, come to preaching. Amen. Amen. You see, God's for it, the devil's against it. That's pretty easy. Titus 1:3, but hath in due times manifested His word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. God says this, I believe this. Now, I've heard all the arguments. Well, you know what, I am just as Spirit-filled as a preacher. I can stay at home and read my Bible. I can get as much. No, the Bible says, but hath in due times manifested His word through preaching. There's some things you'll never learn from the Bible, by yourself, sequestered away, in a backslidden, disobedient state, refusing to go to preaching. There's some things God will never teach you. I learn more Bible by listening to a sermon than I do in my personal study. I don't know about you, but I'll sit there and listen to a preacher, and you preachers that are in here, I'll listen to a sermon, and I'll sit there sometimes, Brother Joe was talking to me about this, and we'll outline sometimes 5-6 sermons, and just from little things that was said, and there's something that about preaching. Now, the world calls it foolishness. What? Look, they're driving by right now, and they're RVs, and they're boats, and they're looking at this full parking lot, and they're saying, those bunch of idiots, they take their only day off, and they show up there, and they get tied up for an hour just so some guy can stand up there with a Bible and holler at them. They don't understand preaching. It's foolishness to them. But to us that are saved, it's the power of God, and God manifests His word through preaching. And so folks, never, never diminish the importance of preaching. And the demonic presence in the house of God wasn't obvious until the preaching started. Preaching stirs up the demons. I'm telling you right now, if we could have our ears listen to the invisible world, you'd hear satanic howling and screaming. They're covering their ears. They're doing everything they can to distract your mind. They're doing flips in front of you, behind you. They're doing everything because they hate what's going on here. If you're lost here today, you know what? That devil's telling you, think about the ball game. Think about what you got to do. Don't listen to that preacher. If you're not right with God today, Satan's trying to stand you up against preaching. He's just mad at you. He's taking a personal vendetta. He's asked, no, I'm not. I'm just preaching the Bible, and the demons don't like it.
Satan hates Bible preaching. You know what? Let me just share this with you. Satan hates bold preaching. Do you notice the type of preaching that bothered this demon? It was the type of preaching where it was preaching without apology. It was the type of preaching that was preaching from a position of authority. Let me reread to you some things about that. It says in Mark chapter 1, verse 22, "And they were astonished at His doctrine, for He taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes." You know what that could be translated today? He preached like an independent fundamental Baptist, not like an ecumenical, not like an evangelical. I'm so tired of so-called men of God getting up and tiptoeing through the tulips. I'm so tired of motivational speakers occupying the pulpits of this land. They won't preach the Bible. They won't say it straight. They won't call sin, sin. They're not bold in their presentation. They don't speak from a position of authority. Listen, folks, I am preaching today from a position of authority. And I'm not talking about my office. I'm talking about from the authority of the Scriptures. If I preach the Bible, this is an authoritative book. It's supposed to have authority over me and authority over you if we're born-again Christians. So my claim or my right to stand here and to preach boldly and to preach with authority is because it's based on the truth of this Word. If I'm true and I'm telling you the truth from the Bible, then I have a responsibility not to... I'm so sick of these things. This is why I paid homage to them of late. Here's a Sunday school teacher. "Let's read the Bible together and then we'll discuss it. And at evening when the sun did set..." Let's see. Yeah. Somebody have a thought about that? Does somebody know what you with the butch haircut, the tight pants? Do you know what that means? Do you have any thoughts on that? Yeah, you with the Marlboros in your pocket. Do you have something from God? A word of prophecy? Is there something you'd like? You know what? That's not preaching. That's not preaching with authority. That's taking a poll. Jesus didn't get up and read the Scriptures and say, "Let's have a group discussion. Did anybody get something? What in the world? What in the world?" And that's what's going on in churches. That's what's going on in churches. Preachers will not stand up and say, "You know what? This is what God says, folks, and I'm going to stand before Him one of these days and I'm going to answer for what I say in the pulpit, and I'm not going to show up and say, 'Lord, you know what? I tiptoed around the tubes. I wouldn't preach the Bible. I avoided the parts that I was afraid might run some people off or offend somebody.'" That, listen, get out of the pulpit! Let a man of God in there! You lazy devil, go get a real job! Stop taking God's money and not doing God's work. Amen. Amen. Brother, I'm going to tell you something. If a message like this was preached in the majority of pulpits in our tri-county area, you know what? That man wouldn't last a week. There's too many people, too many preachers that are controlled by public opinion. They're trying so hard to be politically correct, they're scripturally inaccurate. You wet your finger every Sunday morning, pitch which way the breeze is blowing. Wonder what Mrs. So-and-so or Brother So-and-so, you know, they're in there studying, they're getting excited, and they're writing something. "Oh, wait a minute." "Wait," and they're getting something from the Bible. "Oh, that's..." Wait a minute. No, Mrs. So-and-so wouldn't like that. And they write some more. "Oh, yeah. Oh, no, wait, no, that deacon, he'll call me on the carpet afterwards. Yeah, oh, no, I'll lose those teenagers." You know what? I'm not going to live that way. No way I'm going to live that way. I can't. I'd walk away from this pulpit, never mount it again. We need the Bible preached. We need the Bible preached. Say, "Brother, I don't like it preached bold. I don't like the Bible when it's preached plain." Well, this demon-possessed man didn't like it either. You're not getting that from the Holy Spirit. You've listened to demonic lies. Somehow you've decided through the influence of Satan that you have a right to live any way you want to despite what the Scripture says. No, you don't. No, you don't. You didn't get that from God. You didn't get it from God. Boy, we need some preachers of the mountain. I'm talking about some of you young preachers that are in here today. Don't you grow up. Don't you get out in the pulpit one of these days and be a people pleaser and be political and popularity and what do I got to do to get a raise? What do I got to do to... Listen, just preach! Preach! You know why Blessed Hope Baptist Church exists? Let me tell you why Blessed Hope Baptist Church exists. Because there's a preacher over here that wouldn't kowtow to a bunch of liberal church members.
But the more he preached the Bible, the more the core group, that old liberal church, got mad. A funny thing happened, though. More people started getting saved. And then he got up one Sunday and he started saying this. And, you know, mom's going, be careful. We're going to, you know, and us kids are thinking, yeah, okay, it sounds good. But he said, the day I can't preach from this pulpit, I'll go find a stump out in the woods somewhere and I'll preach from the stump. Now you got to be careful saying that, because sometimes churches will just take you up on that, amen. So he just said that 6 or 8 times and they decided to have a business meeting and vote him out of the church and over to the stump, amen. So that's what happened. I was young and I didn't have a whole lot of memory, but what I do remember about the ride home after that famous Baptist business meeting was that it was awful quiet in the car. I remember 2 things that was said. I remember mom saying, what are we going to do now? And dad saying, in all of his wisdom, I don't know. That was a trip home, brother. But I'm going to tell you something. You know what? God blessed the fact that he wouldn't bend. God blessed the fact. Listen, vote me out. Go ahead, Blessed Hope. If this church goes liberal, just vote me out on the street. I'll go find a stump. You know what? God doesn't live here. He lives in this book right here. He honors this book right here. There gets the point this church decides, you know what? You'd rather go the other way. You'd rather go liberal. You'd rather drop standards. You don't want gospel preaching. You don't want hard preaching. Just let me know. Because I believe there's always a group out there that does want it. Phone began to ring at our house, and people that my dad won to Christ said, preacher, not only they don't want you, they don't want us either. They said, if you want Bob Ross's kind of leadership, Bob Ross's kind of preaching, and you don't come back to this church, what are we going to do? And finally, they begged him and talked him into one Sunday, showing up at Bob Swaby's house. One Sunday. He said, I'll do it one Sunday, and we'll see what happens. He walked in the room, 34 people were in the living room there. Bob Swaby the day before, and another guy went out in the woods and hooked a tractor up to an old stump, yanked the stump out of the ground, nailed it to a board, put a board on top of it, made a pulpit. Dad didn't even know it. He walked in there, and there's a stump up there at the front of that living room, and they said, preacher, here's your pulpit. Here's your pulpit. You said if they wouldn't let you preach there, you'd preach from a stump. Here's your pulpit. By the way, Sunday night of our anniversary, this man right here is going to come up here. We're going to get that old stump pulpit out from the back. We're going to bring it here, set it front and stay. You know why? You know why we need to keep that? You know why we need to keep that old stump pulpit around here? To remind each and every one of us that are preachers in this place that, you know what? This Bible comes first. You don't get called in the ministry to win popularity contests. Preach the Bible. Preach the Bible. People that are Holy Spirit filled, people that love God will love it. Even if it hurts sometimes, they'll still say, come on, preacher, I'm bleeding, but keep slashing. Amen. I need it. People that are sold, have been sold on this demonic resistance, this Doag mindset against preachers and preaching. You know what they'll do? They'll say, I don't like this. I'll tell you what, I'm sick of that. I'm going to go somewhere where they encourage people. Trot themselves down to the latest entertainment center in town. But I'm going to tell you something. They're following the devil down there. They're not following God. It's not the Holy Spirit that leads you out of a Bible-preaching church to go to some dead liberal mess. That's never God. Let me say this. Preaching stirred up the demons of hell. It was Bible preaching. It was bold preaching. But also, Christ had the power to defeat the hordes of hell. And I think this is the great thing that's taught in this story. Jesus had the power to defeat the hordes of hell. Let me read that little section to you. They said in verse 24 of Mark chapter 1, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? For I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. You know, the demons do not have issue with the doctrine of the deity of Jesus Christ. The demons know that Jesus is the Holy One. The demons knew that Jesus was God. The demons know that they're doomed one of these days. And they're sitting there saying, oh my goodness sakes, he showed up early. And he's going to send us down into the abyss. And you know what? Jesus cried to them. He cried out to them. He commanded them, and told them to come out. Jesus rebuked him, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. You know why? Because Jesus commanded. And when Jesus commands it, so Christ had the power to defeat the hordes of hell. Satanic powers quake
in fear in the presence of Christ. Satanic powers bow in obedience to the power of Christ. Satanic powers never surrender a soul easily, but surrender they must. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying they tore him and they threw him down, but God, the Bible says that God wouldn't let him hurt him. They didn't want to give him up, and they were mad that they had to give him up, and they took his body and threw it on the ground. The Bible says they tore him, but the Bible also says they did not, were not allowed to hurt him. You know why? Because Jesus said, go. You know why there's such a spiritual battle going on for the direction of your life? It's because the devil, if he has you and has influence over you, he doesn't want to let go. He's scared to death you might get excited about what's going on at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. He's scared to death you might get excited about the preaching of God's Word. He's scared to death you might break off the carnality and break off the backslidden condition and say, you know what? All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. He's scared to death you're going to do that. Brother Jerry, how do you defeat the hordes of hell? Well, I can't. Christ has the power, so you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get in this pulpit and I'm going to lift up Christ. I'm going to talk about Jesus. I'm going to proclaim the blood of Christ. I'm going to lift up the name of Christ. Listen, when I feel the pressure, demonic presence and pressure, and it attacks on Blessed Hope Baptist Church, hey, it's time to get to the pulpit and talk about Jesus. It's time to lift Him up. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Listen, that's evil angels and good angels, holy angels and demonic angels, all angels prostrate fall. Jesus shows up, the hordes of hell quake and quiver. When Jesus commands, they bow in obedience. They may not like to surrender a soul, but you get Jesus on the scene and you know what? You'll see people that are delivered. Church house, let me give you number 5, the church house this morning is filled with those. I mean, young people, listen to what I'm about to say. The church house this morning, Blessed Hope, is filled with people who at one time was either possessed or oppressed by demons of hell, and now, because of the presence and power of Jesus Christ, they're free. I did something in Sunday school, I think. I think it was in Sunday school. Maybe it was on a Wednesday night. I don't know. I'm preaching on this subject so much, I don't know what I'm saying and when. But I said something as a testimony of the power of God. I'm going to do it again this morning. I mean, you say, Brother Jerry, I can look back at a time in my life, a portion of the time in my life, where I know the devil had me. I know that the devil was oppressed. Maybe you were saved and you were oppressed to Satan. Maybe you were lost and you were possessed by Satan. But at some point in time in your life, the devil had control of your thoughts, control of your actions. I mean, he had you as a puppet on a string and you were dancing to his tune. But Brother Jerry, there was a day that God delivered me from that. Raise your hand if that's true. Look around. Look around. Look around. You know what's so great about this story? Jesus comes in there, there's a man sitting there, and you know what? He looks fine, but he's not okay. You know what? Sometimes, there's been times in my Christian life when I looked fine, but I wasn't okay. I looked fine, but I wasn't okay. Boy, the preaching started, and Jesus showed up, and next thing you know, the demons are ranting and raving. You know what? I'm going to tell you something. When I was backslidden away from God, there would be things come out of my mouth that I don't even know where they came from. I'd say things that would astound me. Somebody would just talk plain this morning. I mean, we're just in church, just us folks. Let's just be honest. You look back in times of your life, or previous to Christ, and sometimes even after salvation, you know what? Satan got a territorial hold in your life somehow, even as a born-again believer. Next thing you know, you are spouting his philosophies, you're talking his trash, you're teaching his principles, and denying what the Bible says. But thank God, listen folks, thank God. You see all those hands raised? Thank God. If Jesus shows up, He can free you from that. And He will free you from that. You know what? The best testimony, the best witness, the best proof to a lost world that Christ is real is the transformed lives in this room. I'm going to share something with you, and please handle this with care. I'm going to give you something intimate. I'm going to give you something probably private. I'm not going to give you details. Please look up here and listen to me. 2 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, who knows? Sometime previous to my life to this moment,
Ronnie Vestal had an appointment up at Indianapolis to go see his probation officer and go see his trial lawyer and to make his sentencing appearance. He came to me and said, "Brother Jerry, I need you to pray. I got to go to India on this day." And I said, "I'm going with you." He said, "Well," I said, "I'm going with you. I'll take you up there. I'm going to ride with you." So I picked him up, and at some ungodly hour, and we met here, and we drove up and stopped at Plainfield and sat down at Denny's and ate a breakfast, had revival. Amen. That's a blessing right there. All the way up to Indy, his lawyer has an office right on the circle, Monument Circle. Parked our car, walked about a block over there, got to the door of the lawyer's office, big building, big office building where his office is, and cell phone rang. I opened it up. "Is this Ron Vestal?" "No, this is Jerry Roth." "Is Ron Vestal with you?" "Yes." "Here." His lawyer. He said, "You haven't left yet, have you?" "Yeah, we're down here." He said, "Well, come on up, but the judge is sick. You're not going to be able to make your appearance to put in plea. Put your plea in, enter your plea." And so I said, "Come on up. This isn't going to be a waste trip. We need to do something." Listen to me, folks. We went up there, very plush office, very nice office, went in there. This man, by the way, is just a godsend. He's working so hard for Brother Ron. We went to a conference room, and he said, "Listen, you're up here. Probation officer's going to come over. We got to do a pre-sentencing. We got to do a pre-trial interview. We got to get all this information from you." So I'm sitting in there in this office. I wouldn't share this with you if Brother Ron would care at all. We were sitting there for 2 hours, and they said, "We need to go over every detail of your past. We're going to start from the first time you used drugs and do an entire drug history. We're going to start from the first time you ever committed a crime, do a complete criminal history. And we're going to go into your family, and we're going to talk about every relationship, every marriage, everything. And I looked over at Brother Ron. I said, "Brother Ron, maybe it'd be better for me to wait down." He said, "No, preacher, I don't have anything to hide." "You might as well know." 2 hours I listened to all of that. 2 hours I listened to every crime, as far as the ones he got caught on, that he's ever committed, every type of drug he ever used, and every relationship he ever had. I sat there and listened to that. And the lawyer gets up, and probation gets up, and says, after he's all done with that, they step back and they said, "Ron, every single time that you were put on probation, every single time you were put under house arrest, every single time that you were let out, in all of the history of your life, you've always gone back to drugs, and you've always gone back to crime, and you've always got back to an illicit life. What happened to you in the last year?" I'm smiling now. Brother Ron looked over at me and he said, "I never had God before." He said, "About a year ago, I met Jesus." And he said, "I'll tell you this. I've thrown myself on the mercy of the court. Whatever they decide, they decide. And if they don't believe me, I'd understand why. But," he said, "let me tell you something. I've never gone a year in my life without taking drugs. I've never gone a year in my life without committing a crime. I've never been a year in my life without being immoral. But the reason I was able to do this for that last year is every time I'd feel a little weak, I'd just pray and God would help me. And you know what? He's kept me clean. He's kept me right. And you know what? I'm just asking you to have some mercy on me. I need to take care of my mother." And all of a sudden it occurred to me that everything that I'd heard for 2 hours that they had in those books and they had on those official records and those police reports, everything that's written here on earth, if you go to the eternal record in heaven and you open up the book of His life and you try to find those same deeds and those same actions, you know what you'll see page after page? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. It's erased a lifetime of sin. It's changed the heart. It's transformed the life. Amen. So we walk in the church house, and Jesus does, and there's a man, and he's demonic, and he's got an unclean spirit, and Jesus starts preaching. The demon don't like it. He starts shouting out, and Jesus says, "Let him go. Let him go." I don't know about you, but I hope that whether you're saved or lost, If the honest truth is, Brother Jerry, I just got to be ugly honest. The devil's been more in control of my life of late than God has. Somehow or another, he's got a hold on my life. And I just want to be free. I just want to be free. I just want to get back on track. I just want to serve God. But it seems like I can't break the power of all this. Well, you know what? I know somebody that can. Amen! I know somebody that can. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Heavenly Father, thank you, God, that you're here. Thank you, Jesus, for being here. You promise in the Bible. We see you in Revelation chapter 1, and there you are in the midst of the golden candlesticks. Whenever there's church, you're there. Lord, we also know that the demons of hell are present. But God, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Lord, all kinds of folks come to the church house, and some of them are right with God and filled with the Holy Spirit, and maybe in the best place they've been in their whole Christian life. They're living on the victory side, but sometimes, God, you send a preacher to a pulpit like you sent me this morning to tell somebody that's lost, whose life's been made a mess by Satan, that there's hope, there's hope, there's hope. Sometimes you send a preacher to the pulpit to somebody that says, Brother Jerry, I'm saved, I know I'm saved, but for whatever reason I've let the devil get in my life. I can't seem to shake it. There's hope. There's hope. Not because of this preacher, not because of this sermon, but because Jesus is here. Jesus is here. God, they can find you at the old-fashioned altar this morning. They can find that help that they need. They can find the one that can give them the strength. They can find that one that will say, leave him alone, leave her alone. Get out of their life. I'm taking over. I'm taking control. I pray, God, that maybe some Christians will find some freedom this morning. Find some help this morning. I pray, God, for that one or two or three or five, who knows, it may be lost. God, I pray they'd be saved. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Jerry, if I was to die right now, I live in terror of what might happen. I don't know if I'd go to heaven. If I died right now, I don't know. I don't know. I don't think I'm saved. I don't know if I'm saved. But preacher, I'm concerned about it. God stirred my heart about it. I'm concerned about it. Would you please pray for me, preacher? I won't call your name. I won't humiliate you. I won't come get you. I'm not going to embarrass you anyway, but I will pray for you. Raise your hand. I'm not saved. I'm not saved, but I'm concerned about it. I'm not saved, but I'm concerned about it. I need some help. Preacher, pray for me. I need some help. I'm not saved. Let me say, Brother Jerry, I could go back. I could tell you. I could take you there. I might not know the exact date and time, but I know the place, and I know that I can remember it in my mind where I received Jesus as my Savior. I know that I'm saved. If that's you, will you raise your hand? I know that I'm saved. Put your hands down. I may say, Brother Jerry, I'm saved. The honest truth is, it just seems like of late, the devil's gotten my life. The devil's got a hold of some things. The devil's found, for whatever reason, a foothold in my life. And I need help. I need deliverance. Brother Jerry, I'm struggling right now as a Christian. Would you slip your hand up? I'm struggling as a Christian. I'm struggling as a Christian. I need some help, Brother Jerry. I need some help. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. I don't take that as a light thing. I don't take it as a light thing. God, you've seen these hands, Lord. They need help. They need deliverance. They need encouragement. God, most of all, they need you. Lord, I don't have a human answer for them. All I've got is the person of Jesus Christ. I know if they'll get to you, you'll help them. And I pray, Lord, that this altar this morning be used by people that need help. Maybe there's somebody here and you say, Brother Jerry, I'm fine. I'm fine. I really am. But there's somebody that I love dearly. And Satan's got such a hold on them. And I'm just going to pray this morning. I'm just going to pray that God gives a victory in their life. Would you raise your hand? Somebody I love. Seems like the devil's got such a hold on them. God bless you. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Every single person that's on the heart of somebody, I pray that you'd run to their rescue. Help them, God. Don't let the devil win. Help them to come to themselves. Please, Jesus, meet with us now. In your name we pray.